Glad to see everyone here tonight. You know, it's a joy when visitors come like this morning, but it's just the same joy when we're able to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And one of the reasons that we come together, there's a few, but one big reason is because we love Jesus. We love Jesus and we love our Father in heaven. And we hope that anyone that comes and graces us with their presence, including all of us together, will understand and feel that kind of love, that God and Christ is the center of what we do here. And we're also serious about the Bible. If I could, you know, take the words of the Apostle Paul and say that as a church, so much is in us that we're ready to preach to anyone. And we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it's the power of God unto salvation. And so, you know, that is just a wonderful thing. And thirdly, as I think about this, when we come in here, we come in, I pray, loving one another with a fervent, a zealous love for one another. We really do care. And that's why we're here. And we want everybody to know how much we love one another. And so we can boldly say that we're just so glad to be here tonight in the presence of one another, in the presence of our Lord. We're going to look at something that we had years ago. I preached this. I've changed it a little bit. I hope you'll still enjoy it. But I want to be able to preach this sermon tonight in such a way that we'll not only leave here rejoicing and being filled with joy and thanksgiving, but we'll also, next time we come here, we might come approaching our time of worship just a little bit different. Many years ago, I don't know who, actually, but many, many years ago, scholars, some people, they put titles on all the Psalms. And there was only one Psalm that they titled a Psalm of Thanksgiving. And that is, if you'll open your Bibles here, because we're going to go through it, that's the Psalm 100. But it's not the only Psalm. As you look at this, it's not the only Psalm that mentions Thanksgiving. Psalm 80 or 18, therefore I give thanks to you, O Lord. Psalm 30, verse 4, give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. Psalm 30, 12, I will give thanks to you forever. 75 and 1, we give thanks to you, O God, we give thanks. O God, thanks to the Lord of hosts, the Lord of lords, for His mercy endures forever. Psalm 140, 13, surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name and the upright shall dwell in your presence. Think about that. So much rejoicing going on. So much thanksgiving going on in the Psalms. It isn't all sadness and it's not all joy, but a great balance. And we can be thankful for these Psalms that can lift us up and guide and direct us in the footsteps of those who went before us. Charles Spurgeon wrote something here about the Psalm. He wrote that this is the only Psalm bearing this precise inscription. It is all ablaze with a grateful adoration and has for this reason been a great favorite with the people of God. Ever since it was written, let us sing the old hundredth. Is one of the everyday expressions of the Christian church and will be so while men exist whose hearts are loyal to the great King. And he wrote that. And of course, as you look back at that and realize it was written actually at a time when he had the holiday of Thanksgiving in mind. And I would certainly contend that David, who wrote this psalm, wasn't thinking about Thanksgiving, and I could probably prove that because it didn't exist then. The pilgrims hadn't come yet. But David didn't have any special holiday in mind when he penned these wonderful words. It's not a day to remember. It's not a birthday or some special holiday that people, that David had in mind when he penned these words. It's not about some famous person and when they were born or when they died. What it is a time when the nation Israel would pause and remember God. In our times today, people, they get further and further away from God. And they spend their entire week away from God, and increasingly spending less and less time, if you can put those words together, with God. But we need to take every opportunity that we have to be thankful on a regular, daily basis to our God. We need to get not further and further away, but closer and closer. And one of those ways is to be looking at God and being thankful for every single thing that occurs in our life. There's a historical note as we look at this Psalm of David and try to understand exactly what it is. Basically, the three times a year Israel would travel to Jerusalem, and they were going there. That was a mandatory journey, and they were going there with the specific purpose of worship. They would sing this song along the way. This very psalm, they would sing this along the way with the intention of preparing themselves for worship, of giving thanks to God for everything. And when they got there, they were built up, ready, excited as they traveled along the way. And that's, of course, the title of our song, Worship Begins Along the Way. And I want you to picture this because I think it's really important. We're not talking about one or two Israelites or two or three Jews, you know. We're talking about a nation on a journey together, marching along the way. And as you look at that, they're with their family. They're with their friends and relatives, and they're singing and reciting the psalm. How exciting that is. And together, let's read this psalm together. Psalm 100, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing, that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endures to all generations. We need to see this. Thankfulness. The promises of God. All throughout the Psalms, these people are taking this trip. And it wasn't an easy trip. It was a long trip most of the time. And it was a hard trip. And along the way, you know, they're praising God. They're giving thanks to God. We'll look at that here in a moment. And that's not commonplace today. You know, how many in the car today, what do you hear? Well, are we there yet? When are we going to get there? I'm bored. You know, maybe that's what people say on the way to worship. But that's not what was going on there. It was not natural to thank God for everything. It's not natural for us to thank even ourselves back and forth. Most of the time people are... That's just the time that we live in. But this is why Israel needed that song. This is why they would sing this song along the way. And why it's important for us today to be thinking. You know, it helped them get their minds and their hearts as they walked along this road, readying themselves to worship, to enter into the Lord's courts, enter into His house. But before they went into that house, they were ready. And, you know, Paul himself reminds us of people who have an attitude that is unthankful. Look at 2 Timothy with me, to chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll just read verse 1. And as we read this, we need to understand Paul's talking about those people that are living in the latter days. We are living in the last days, the latter days. 2 Timothy 3, 1. The Apostle Paul, he says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away." And from such people turn away. What's going on here? They have a form of godliness, but they deny its power. This godliness, men, godless people doing godless things, all in the name of religion. And notice the four uns there as you look at that verse. Unthankful, he says. Unholy, he says. Unloving, unforgiving. We can't be the uns of the world. And the reason why people are more often unthankful is because they are unholy and living a life that's unloving and unforgiving. And so as people today, you know, we need to be a people that do not succumb to unthankfulness, unloving, unholy, unforgiving. We need to be a people that rise up above that. The world that we live in today is a world of victimology. It's a world where people are living victims. Out of all the oppression, they believe that the world owes them something. And they don't give thanks for anything they get. They just feel that they deserve it. The paychecks they get, the housing they get, the food they get, the medical care, the gifts, the money. It just no reason to give thanks. They just expect it. But we're not that people. We know where the food comes from. We know how we get our finances. We know how our houses come into our possessions. And we know how we're cared for medically, spiritually, and in a loving way. We know why we have a car. Because our God is a good provider and blesses us. And so we need to be thankful. We need to be thankful. And that's why it's so refreshing to read a psalm like this, the very thing that I want us to see here. I want you to first of all, notice with me seven action words. Look at this psalm in verse 1. We'll begin there. Shout is one of those great action words. Serve is a great action word. Come is a great action word. Know, he says. Verse 4, enter. The end of verse 4, be thankful and bless. We see these words and how important they are. Be thankful and bless. And these are the seven things that will be required of the people. There'll be seven things required. They reflect our attitudes towards God. They reflect our attitudes towards one another. Look at verse 1 and 2. Make a joyful shout to the Lord. Serve the Lord, verse 2, with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Look at verse 4. Bless His name. Boy, isn't that wonderful? All of these things just simply reflect what should be in our hearts, in our minds, that should be reflecting our attitudes towards worship and being prepared for worship. There's nothing more detrimental to worship than to come with a bad feeling in your mind or your heart or to carry a burden of troubles that you shouldn't be having to carry. We're to cast those things all upon the Lord. We know He cares for us, and we come along the way from the time you get in your car to the time you enter these doors, shouting and serving and thinking and being prepared to worship God. And listen, why were they joyfully shouting, and why were they serving? Why were they coming? Why were they doing it? I'll tell you why. You look at the text. And all of these seven action words are blessing God. Look at that. Right? Shout to the Lord. Serve the Lord. Come before His presence. Know the Lord. He is God. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Be thankful to Him. Bless His name. There's an attitude there. And it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful attitude as we look at this. And so we want to remember these things as we think about what am I going to do the next time I get in my car? And you don't have to think this only applies to going here. When you leave here tonight, you could do that on the way home. Just think how much better you'll feel when you walk through your own door. All these attitudes emphasize the Lord. And what is missing in this is anything directed towards man. Right? What's missing here is anything. We're not shouting towards man. We're not serve the man. We're not coming before man. We're not knowing the man. We're not entering the man's gates. We're not being thankful and blessing the man. The focus is on God. You know, we tend to focus on ourselves. Oh, I got a cold. I don't feel good today. Oh, you know, I'm having trouble at my job. My family's a mess. And sometimes all you hear is problems. Imagine how difficult that is between your house and here, when a person's house, when they get in the car and they're not coming here getting excited about worship, they're coming here worrying about life. Woe is me. But you don't see that. These Jews were on a march with a mission. And we don't see that. You know, if one of them were to be faltering, somebody else would help them. If another person is ailing, somebody would help them along the way. If somebody is sick, they would help them along the way. If somebody is nervous or worried or depressed, they would help them along the way by the shouting to the Lord, by talking about serving the Lord, by talking about coming into the presence of the Lord, by entering His gates. Being thankful and blessing the Lord. Those things will lift up the souls. And so we see that. It's greatness. And we see these, you know, three things about God in verse 5. Verse 5. Number one, the Lord is good. And when I talk to people, I say He's good always. Our Lord is good. God is good. God is merciful. God's truth endures forever. God is not like man, right? Numbers 23 and 19. God is not like man. You don't have to see what kind of mood God is in before you approach Him. You know, I want to talk to Alex over there, but he don't look like he's in a real good mood. Maybe I'll wait till tomorrow. No. I want to speak to my God. I want to speak to my God who is good and merciful, and His truth endures forever, and He's going to hear me, and He's going to be the same God today as He was yesterday. And He's going to love me and pull me into His realm, into His sphere. And when we approach God, it needs always to be for good and merciful things, things that are true. And it's, you know, you look at verse 1, what are we told? Shout! Shout to the Lord. You know, shout means something. I can't think good thoughts but nobody hears them. I can think good thoughts, nobody hears. Well, I'm worshiping God. I'm praising God. I'm shouting, calling on His name, blessing God. No, it's not what they did. They're going down the road, shout to the Lord. Serve the Lord. Come to the Lord. All the way down that road. Just imagine doing that in your car. You talk about stereo 4 or 5 different ways. And it's all about God. So David is telling them to shout. To be joyful in the Lord. Let everybody know your God as you will come along the way. Matt, roll your windows down in the summer and be shouting to the Lord. Sing songs and praises and hymns to the Lord together. And people drive by in their cars and they think one of two things. Those people are nuts. Or man, I wonder what church they go to. I think I like that. Maybe we should follow them. But normally we don't see that. We seldom see people shouting and praising to the Lord. I've seen people bipping and bopping to the beat of some crazy music, but I don't know. How wonderful this is to have our lives joy filled with the Lord. And that's what the Lord would expect of us, considering all the great things He's done. No reason not to shout and be joyful. If we're not God's happy people, who are? And so we think about that. And God is merciful. God's truth endures forever. So look at verse 4. Verse 4, we read those words. David's talking about entering his gates. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Enter into his gates. Along the way, right, we're thinking, I'm going to be there soon. I'm going to enter into his gates. Mom, look, we're going to be there really close. Dad, how close are we? I'm excited. I want to be there. And you can hear, you know, often all you hear is like I mentioned, the kids complain, oh, it's hot. Turn up the air. I'm tired. Are we there yet, Dad? Do we have to go any further today and just griping and complaining? And you're sitting up there going, man, by the time you get through these doors, it's a nightmare. Praise our God. Great is our God. Awesome is the Lord. Faithful is our God. And it's good to praise our God. God is good. Always. One by one, these Israelites would march down. One by one. And maybe two by two or three by three, but they're going in an order. They're going in a line. And they're thinking about God the whole time. They're marching and singing. One by one, preparing themselves to worship God. With their hearts filled up with these words, with their minds in the right frame, so that you get to verses 2 and 3, and all they're thinking about is serving the Lord. They're thinking about joyful things. The Lord, He is good. And their heart grows. It wells up. It's even more joyous. And from shouting and singing, and what they're doing, they're getting ready for something really great. They're getting ready. You can only imagine what it's like then for God's people. You know, on the way, the building would be something in their mind. The Lord's day is coming. It's coming. So what do we do here? We're on our way to the building, it's the Lord's day, or maybe it's a Wednesday, and we're coming, and we know that there's only going to be a few saints here, but we should be exhibiting this exuberance. Every time we come together, every time we meet, to worship, to study, our hearts merge together with one mind, unity of the Spirit. And we exhibit such gratefulness. And we are thankful for the wonderful blessings of the Lord. And what is really great about this is the context. Israel is doing it for the Lord, shouting for God along the way. And it is great for all of us to give thanks in the context here to God, coming to be in the presence of God, doing it all for God, into His courts with praise. As they're walking closer and closer to Jerusalem and they're building up this joy. They're coming close to the temple. They can see it off in the distance. And their hearts well up and they get more and more excited as they get closer and closer. They're already worshiping together as they sing and shout these wonderful phrases. They're already worshiping. They're already doing that along the way. Isn't that great? You know, I can only imagine what it would have been like then if God's people today would do that kind of a thing. Along the way to this building, along the way to worship, we just practice that kind of travel. Put in a CD, sing and shout to the Lord. Boy, what a wonderful thing that would be. And what a difference I think it would make to our worship. I don't know only of a few saints that exhibit such kind of exuberance every time they come together and their hearts, though, merge together. They're filled with the thoughts of the Lord as they come together. His greatness, His wonderfulness, His power, His love, His mercy, His truth. And what's really great about all of this is that, again, Israel setting a great example in that sense. There's a man named Alex Haley. You might remember this. Alex Haley, he's the author of the book of called Roots. And he, in his office, he had this picture of a turtle sitting upon a fence post. And people would come into his office and they would say to him, you know, why do you have a picture of a turtle on the fence post? And Alex would turn back to that person and he would say, whenever I write something down, something significant, and I read the words that I wrote, and I think how wonderful those words are and how powerful and moving they are, and I begin to feel proud in myself. And I turn around and I look at that turtle on the fence post and it reminds me that he didn't get up there by himself. Somebody had to help him up there. And that's what we think about. That turtle didn't get up there by himself. He had help. We have help. We have help always, not just from one another, but from the Creator of all things, the God of creation. We have help from the mighty God, that wonderful Counselor. We have help from above. We have help that allows us, in the hardest of times, to shout for joy. To shout to the Lord. You know, you look again at verse 4. And you see this, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. That's what we want to think about. So, the story of a doctor in India who helped many, many, many people who were suffering terrible from a disease that caused blindness and boils all over their bodies. And when that doctor would help them, the people would never say thank you. Never. But the doctor learned that basically that the reason they don't do that is it's just not their tradition. It isn't their way to give thanks to to others. And so what the people would do instead of saying, well, thank you, doctor, they would say, I will tell others about you. Put that in the spiritual sense. Shout to the Lord. I'm going to tell others about Him. Come into His presence with singing and know the Lord, He's good. I'm going to tell people God is good. I'm going to tell people that He has made me. I didn't make myself. I'm one of His people. I'm one of the sheep of His pastures. And I want to enter into His gates with thanksgiving. And I want to praise Him in His courts. And I want to be thankful for Him. And I want to bless His name. The Lord is good. And I want to tell that to people. I don't have to say thank you. I just want to take His name. I'm not saying you can't thank the Lord. Praise be to God that we can say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the blessings. Thank you for our wives and our husbands. Thank you for our children. Thank you for our health. Thank you for everything that we have. But just equal to, maybe a little bit better than that, is to say to somebody else, let me tell you about my Lord. Let me tell you about His wonderful gates. Let me tell you about His ability, His creative powers. Let me tell you about His Son Jesus. Let me tell you. And then that's saying, thank you, God. That's saying, thank you, God, without even saying the words. God's up there. He knows. He hears. He sees everything. Thank you, God. I'm going to thank you, God. I'm going to tell everybody about you. You see? Praise the Lord. You know, there's a song that we sing, Praise the Name of Jehovah. I think that's... sing and be happy. Sing praises to the Lord. Sing of the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing it over and over again. What joy, what a Savior. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to sing and be happy. I'm going to praise Your name to people. I'm going to tell people about the wonderful love of Jesus. And I'm going to sing this song to them over and over again. And what a joy. Thank God. And another thing, too, is to praise the name of God. He is indeed our Creator, right? I mean, don't we understand that? Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 18. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people a joy. Those are things God did for us. He's our Creator. Look at verse 3. What does it say? Know that the Lord, He is God, and He is the one who made us. We didn't make ourselves, right? So we should be thankful for that. We tend to thank God for our cars. Thank God for this 70-inch big screen TV. Thank God that pain in my back is gone. Thank God. But I have a nice house. We tend to thank God all the time for physical things in this world. And it seems like the only line that we seem to go down. But when we consider God, He is the one who made us. He made us all different. He made some big, some small, some thin, some tall, some short. He filled each of us with some kind of talent. Some can sing, some can play an instrument, some have great minds, some can do brain surgery. But you know what's special about all of God's children? A blessing that He gives us all, we can praise Him. We can praise Him. We can shout the Lord. We can serve the Lord. We can know the Lord. We can enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Be thankful and bless His name. And tell people about His everlasting mercy and truth. And wow. You know, something else that He mentions in this text, we are the people and the sheep of his pasture. We're the people, the sheep of his pasture. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Right? He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Right? Boy, boy, oh boy. We are the sheep of his pasture. He leads us, he guides us, he protects us. He provides for us, he cares for us. And so as Israel's along the way to worship God, these thoughts are flowing through their minds. Their hearts are overwhelmed with goodness and the wonderful things of God, overflowing with praise. They're not talking about one another, they're talking about their great God. Shouldn't we strive to do the same thing? 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 1. Verse 11 and 12. Therefore, we also pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of his calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith, which with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. And you in him. According to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants us to be saved. He wants us to worship him. He wants us to recognize what he's done for us. He wants us to say thanks. He wants us to be the lights in the world. He wants us to go out into the world. He wants us to shout of his glory, of his majesty, of his power to save. Of everything that he's done for us in our life. You know, what we don't see Israel doing along the way is the inward looking. We mentioned, woe is me. This is such a hard trek. These roads are bumpy. There's stones all over the place. My sandals aren't very thick and my feet hurt and my back hurts. My life is such a mess. Oh, it goes on and on and on and on and on. That's not what they did. They were a prepared people preparing to worship their God. Right? And all throughout that, what we don't want to miss is that he is the shepherd and we are the sheep. We're serving and worshiping together. That's what Jesus told the devil. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and to him only shall you serve. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10. That's what he said. The idea of worshiping God, the idea of being together in one mind and one heart and one spirit with one mouth, singing praises to God, shouting and serving and knowing God. Worship and serving God together. That's what Jesus said. Only him. Serve him day and night, it tells us in the book of Revelation. And so they were worshiping God before they ever got to the temple. They're already shouting. They're already professing him as God, the creator, the shepherd. They're the sheep. He's the creator. They were in a state of rejoicing. Oneness. Right? They did it along the way to the temple. Their attitude toward worship. It set the tone for worship. You think of those three simple little points. So when you're on your way to worship, get a what's the word a cappella CD, put it in there, sing along with a chorus. Thinking about serving God when you get here. Thinking about worshiping God when you get here. Thinking about singing praises to God when you get here. Think about the partaking of the Lord's Supper, remembering Jesus Christ and what He did for us. That great gift, His blood upon that cross. You do all that before you get here, and when you get here, it's going to be a whole lot better. And remember that worship isn't confined to the building. You don't need me. You don't even need a song leader. I mean, we have that here. It helps us to do things decently and in order. It helps us to be together, united as we go. But you can do it in your car. I mean, I'll come and ride with you. But you don't need me. All you need is you and God. You and God. Shouting, singing, praising, all along the way. And they have so much to be thankful for. We have so much to be thankful for. God is good. God is good to us. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. That's what the Greek word means. And that good word, that good news, it came by many mighty signs and wonders and powerful works. Being fully preached. Romans chapter 15, verse 19. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, James says, from the Father of lights with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. James 1 and 17. This day is a gift from God. Be thankful for that. Tell somebody tonight or tomorrow how exciting it was to be here and how it would be wonderful for them to come and join in this. Salvation is a gift from God, and you need to be thankful for that. But tell people about it. God, who loves you always, be thankful for that and tell people about it. God, who has not given up on you, remember He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Be thankful for that. Tell people about that. And when the wind and the rains and the floods come and they beat upon you, you'll be standing upon that wonderful, powerful Christ Himself, the rock. And you'll be able to say, I'm there. And along the way there I was excited and now I'm really excited. I can't imagine what it would be like not to be there. God has prepared a place for you in heaven. Tell people about that. You can say, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. You've gone to prepare a place for me. You're going to come back and receive me unto yourself so that where you are, I can be also. But you can say thank you, but tell somebody. That's the best way on earth to praise God who is good. God who is good to us. I want to... You know, there's five things that I saw on the internet that a hospice nurse noted that people say just before their life ends. The first thing that she said, I wish, this is what a person would say, I wish I had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life of others that others expect me. I wish I hadn't worked so hard. I wish I had the courage to express my feelings. I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends. I wish that I had let myself be happier. I'm going to add something there. Number six. They wished they'd walked with Jesus, or they're thankful that they did. One or the other. When we die, we're either going to be thankful that I spent my life shouting, proclaiming Him, going along the way, knowing Him, being His sheep, entering His gates, being thankful, blessing His name, or I'm going to wish I had. I'm going to wish I had. Tonight the choice is yours. You can choose whatever road you want to take, but listen, if you're shouting and praising God and for His greatness and His mercy along the way, you'll never regret it. You'll never regret it. We have a song of invitation tonight. The song is number 310. I am thine, O Lord. And that's a question that only you can answer. If you're not, tonight you can. And so we have an invitation for you tonight to come and be joined together with Christ in baptism, to have your sins washed away. And you'll be able to rejoice along the road of life from this point forward. Please, if you have a need, come forward as we stand and as we sing. I am thine, O Lord.